The Buddha treated his listeners like adults. He didn't say that there was some great being that was going to come and take care of them. They were going to have to take care of themselves. He was happy to give advice on how to do that. After all, he had learned how to take care of himself. Buddhism is one of the few religions that's started by someone who was open about the fact that he started out imperfect, but he was able to develop perfections. So he knows what it's like to be imperfect and how to work on improving yourself. Even when he's talking to children, he started out with some pretty hard facts. When he's trained his son, Rahula, a pretty stern lesson on lying. And how if you tell a lie, a deliberate lie with no sense of shame, there's no goodness to you. And if people catch you telling a lie, they can't really trust you at all. There's no evil that you might not do. He illustrates this with a vivid simile, the water dipper, and the simile of the elephant, to make it a vivid message for a child. But it's a stern lesson. And it is questions for the novice. First one, what is one? He doesn't say something warm and reassuring like we are all one. He says all beings subsist on food. That's his introduction to causality, eating. Now eating may be fun for the person who's doing the eating, but certainly not good for the person being eaten or the animal being eaten. And as the Buddha was later to point out, the act of eating is in itself suffering. It starts right out with suffering. But he's got a solution. That's why he starts out with these things. He's not being pessimistic. He's like a doctor who, when you come into the office, asks, where does it hurt? The doctor's not being pessimistic. He's trying to help. Then to get back to his instructions to Rahula, one of the important things the Buddha teaches is having a mature attitude of the fact that you're working on a skill that's going to take a long time sometimes. You've got to have the right attitude. He says if you're trying your best to behave in a way that's harmless, but you discover that what you actually did ended up causing harm, you should have a sense of shame around that, a mature sense of shame. The shame that's the opposite of shamelessness, where you don't care what people think, even wise people. You should care about what people think. Just choose the right people, wise people. And when you have done something well, you know, you tried to avoid harm and you succeeded in avoiding harm, the Buddha says to take joy in that fact, but also to continue training. In other words, the proper attitude you should have is one of happiness that you are making progress, but you're not satisfied with your progress. There's always more to be done. This is how you develop a skill. And it's learning how to handle that in a mature way. That's a really important part of the path. As we look back on the rains retreat this past, trying to be honest with yourself about the time you did times you did things well and about the times you did things not so well. And don't let the times you did things not so well get you down. As the Buddha said, the proper attitude toward that is to recognize a mistake as a mistake and resolve not to repeat it. And then spread lots of goodwill, lots of compassion, empathetic joy, equanimity for yourself, for the people you've harmed, and for everybody in general. That attitude of developing those unlimited mind states is to lift your heart So it's not weighed down by the mistake. You don't have to pretend that there was no mistake. You admit freely, yep, there's something I've got to learn. And as the Buddha said, be willing to talk this over with those who are more advanced on the path, people you trust, to get some idea of how you can do it better. Don't be ashamed. In that sense, the purposes of shame is that you will do your best, but you're also willing to reveal your mistakes to those who know better, so they can help you. As for the times you've done things well, you don't sit and pat yourself on the back, because then you start getting satisfied. So you take joy in what you've done, but you resolve that you've got to improve even further. And the joy that you take and the good that you've done is meant to give you energy. So you have the confidence that, yes, you can handle even more difficult tasks. But remind yourself there is further training to be done, and learning how to live with that attitude of joy but dissatisfaction in a mature way. That's an important part of the path. As the Buddha said, the secret to his awakening was dissatisfaction not only with his mistakes, but also with the skillful qualities he had developed. As long as they hadn't reached the goal, he wouldn't rest satisfied. Think of the times he studied the formless attainments with his first two teachers. If he had been satisfied with the success he got in mastering their methods, there would have been no Buddha. He would have been forgotten. We wouldn't have had the Dharma to practice. So we owe a lot to his sense of dissatisfaction, even when he did things well. You see this reflected in the way the Forest Ajahns teach. I've mentioned to you that Ajahn Phuong very rarely would praise anybody, and his attitude was, if he praised somebody, that's probably as far as they were going to get, so then he would praise them, so they would feel a sense of the importance of what they had accomplished. But if they were capable of more, he would make that very clear, they were capable of more. And the fact that he would push you further was a sign of his confidence in you. You should take confidence in that attitude and not take his criticisms as putting you down. There's a case of Zhan Cao teaching meditation to lay people. You teach them to do Butao. They'll go off and they do it, and they come back and they report their results. And if the results were good, if they asked, is this right? He wouldn't say, well, whether it's right or wrong, just keep on doing it. If it was wrong, then he'd say, okay, no, this is not the way it should be done. But as for when it was right, it wasn't fully right. If it was fully right, they'd get awakening. So he was trying to have them gain a sense that, yes, what they were doing was okay, but there was more to be done. And he expected them to be mature enough to understand that. This is a problem we have a lot in Western Dharma. Sometimes it seems to be pitched to people who are really neurotic. They do something and they don't do very well. And so you tell them, well, it doesn't matter. There is no such thing as good or bad. Just being aware of whatever you're doing or whatever is happening and not passing judgment, that's the goal. Certainly not the goal. You have to learn how to live with judgments, even negative judgments, and take advantage of them. Because if they're intended well, then they're for your growth. So treat yourself like an adult. As you make progress in the path, notice that there is progress, and be happy that you're making that progress. Use that to give yourself energy to do even more, to get even better. Because that's the only way you're going to gain confidence. And use that confidence in the right way. There's that movement they've had in American education to give kids self-confidence based on nothing. That's pretty empty, and it creates a lot of problems. There's the Thai word mua, which means you come into something and you don't really know what you're doing, but you're confident that, well, I can probably do okay just fooling around. And that's not the right attitude at all. Genuine confidence has to come with some sense that you have learned to master some skills, and you've learned how to do that, how to balance your desire for results so it's just right, doesn't get in the way of the results. It's not so strong that you're too impatient for the results. It's not so weak that you don't really do anything. And as you learn how to master step by step by step, you become a more mature adult. And you develop this right balance of confidence based on real achievements and a sense of joy in the achievements, but also a sense of dissatisfaction. There's got to be more. I knew a professional athlete one time who was talking about people who played in his game. And he said, there's some people just happy that they can play on their professional level. That's as far as they aim. He didn't have much use for them. His attitude was, if you're going to play the game, you want to excel. That means you're always finding new ways to do better, based on a sense of confidence that comes from seeing that you have been able to master skills in the past. So trying to maintain this attitude of happiness in your accomplishments, but a sense of dissatisfaction until you've reached the end of the path. And then there's not a sense of satisfaction or dissatisfaction. The job is done. But as long as the job isn't done yet, just remind yourself there's more. And it's going to get better. It may demand more out of you, but what are you holding back? What are you holding on to as you hold back? So be happy that the Buddha is treating you like an adult, so that you can become more and more a genuine adult. And gain something that ultimately really will be worthy of satisfaction.